Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimke Center for Wholeness. Ahimke is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimke is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimke Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimke Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimke.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimke Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex.
Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media? From my friends?
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is.
So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit 4parents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Received with gratitude. Thank you very much. Roll call, Kathy. Kathy? No. How about Carly Jackson? I don't know who Kathy Jackson is, but I know who Carly Jackson is. Carly, help us. Roll call.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Yes, indeed. We know who we are. We know we are present. We are ready to go on a journey to set ourselves free. And know that all is truly well. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And we want to take you on a journey. Since we are talking about loneliness, neediness, and being a burden. You know it. I don't want to ask for help because I don't want to be a burden. Well, I know I need help, but you know, people are busy with their lives. Let's take you on a journey. Let's take you on a journey to release all of that. Or maybe not release it. Embrace the fact that you don't want to be a burden. That you're needy. That you're feeling lonely. We're going on a fearless journey with Ambassador Safira. We'll be back.
Walking along the shore. Stepping forward, stepping forward, in the waves, the waves that embrace. The waves that allow. The waves remembrance. Remembrance of all that we are. Remembrance of why we are. All that we seek to remember is right here. And as we move on this journey into the sun, we realize that the tools we need, we indeed possess. We honor the fact there is no longer any need to look outside of ourselves, for we possess the tools of love. We possess the tools of trust, honor, and wisdom, all of which have, up to this point, been sought after outside of ourselves. We honor ourselves now for being divine. Being born divine means that we are abundant in all the things we seek. Recognition of this will soar our souls to the highest realms of this universe and beyond. As we move forward on our journey, we pray for guidance. We pray for protection. And most of all, we pray for always being surrounded by the greatest tool of all, love. Praise be to the light of truth.
Yes, yes, and yes. The healing power of love. Let love be your healer. Let love be your beloved. Open up to love as you take the fearless journey within, the fearless journey to places within yourself that you ran from, that you ignore, that you try and avoid. The time is now. The time is now. You remind yourself that loneliness, neediness, is part of life. It's part of the human experience. When you tell yourself, I don't want to be a burden, you're denying yourself the opportunity to be loved. When you say, I don't want to be a burden, you're saying no to love. Because it's in reaching out and allowing others to help you that we get to really know ourselves, that we get to feel connection, that we get to feel our worth, our union with the other. It's simple. It's not always easy because of the conditioning, but I want to change that. It's simple and it's easy because we say so. Because we understand that every word that we speak goes forth to create a some level. So today we release the idea that it's simple but not always easy. Your mind will tell you, yes, it's not easy. But we're going beyond the mind saying it's simple and it's easy. It's like a computer. Whatever you put into the computer, what goes in is what comes out. We're transcending thoughts. We're resetting our consciousness. We're resetting our software, our internal, so we may hear the internal guidance system. Fearless Journey with Ambassador Sofera. There's part two, and we'll play that later, because it's an ongoing journey. And you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. To find out more about Ambassador's work, actually, I'm going to give you two websites. One is Ambassador.com, Ambassador, O-M-B-A-S-S-A, Ambassador.com. And also, she and some other sisters are putting together a retreat in November, where you get to embrace love, where you get to play, where you get to grow, where you get to embrace the part of you that don't like to be a burden, the part of you that you're insecure about. And if you go to Soul Power Live, S-O-U-L, powerlive.com, and for more information, the retreat is in November. November 15th to the 17th in Atlanta, Georgia. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're alive. And we're encouraging you, supporting you to go beyond just existing, but really living life fully. Your presence is already causing ripples on the earth. Make it a powerful one. Leave a legacy behind where people think about you, they'll smile. Maybe even shed a tear or two because they remembered how much you touched them. That you were there for them when they felt alone, when they felt needy, when they didn't want to be a burden. You made them feel comfortable. You made them feel loved. You made them feel welcome. We all have this natural ability to be compassionate. But sometimes we're afraid because of what's coming up for us. And we're going to talk more about that. I am your host. That's right. I am is the host, and the I am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade and so many other names or labels. We are taking your call, supporting you as you grow through life and go through life. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346 is the number. Onifa Funke is going to be joining us, also known as Root Woman. She's going to go to the root of the matter and help you heal and help you recognize. I want to welcome you. It's an interesting energy today, and I'm embracing it all. Those of you on the phone line, those of you in the chat room, we thank you. Thank you for tuning in. Those of you that listen on the archive, we welcome you. And, of course, our within radio listeners, thank you all for tuning in. Electra, Tamara, and we got the Sun Kai Goddess, the skating angel, the uniquely skating. Silent listeners disguised as guests, and Celeste is in the house, and many more people hiding in the background. Don't want me to know. I see you. That's what I'm talking about, Tamara. Tamara said, good morning. I'm needy. I know that's right. I'm needy too. So nice to meet you. Of myself, I can do nothing. How liberating. We'll talk more about that. And Celeste, I need you. I'm going to bring you on. And I wonder if this person, this is, I'm digressing, but I won't touch that right now. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to stay focused. I saw something, but I want to address it right now. I notice when I listen to my shows over, not often, but when I do, I hear myself take this deep breath. And one day I said, boy, you need to stop doing that. But psh, please, psh. That's me talking to another part of myself. Psh, Negro, please. I need to take a deep breath. I'm needy like that. It's my way of connecting with the one and reminding myself that I am all one with the one. And we are one with Celeste. How are you doing, Celeste?
I'm well.
Ah.
Yeah. You know, you're kind of stepping on my toes a little bit. I'm one of those people, like, I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to bother anybody. Oh, I got it. I'm crumpled up in a corner somewhere, eating mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
Shivering.
Resuscitation.
Not running
there. But I got it.
I'm okay.
I'm okay.
Right where I am, God is right. I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's okay. I'll make it.
Wait. Here we go. I'm a strong black woman. I don't need nobody. I don't need none of y'all. Okay.
Oh, boy. I always say, if God was a man in the cloud, as they were fooling us to believe, God would have fallen out of sky a long time ago. Like, God would be in stitches, like, oh, they just killed me. They killed me. Look at them. This is not what he was supposed to be. It's interesting thing, isn't it? This whole thing about loneliness, neediness, and being a burden. And, of course, this is a continuation of a show I did with Onifa about, I think it was in July or somewhere around there.
That earlier topic.
Yeah. Okay. And that topic was loneliness, neediness, and abandonment. So we continue the conversation. It's important. It's an important conversation. We don't always want to talk about it. We want to run from it. We want to meditate ourselves away from it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to approach from it. But, you know, and meditation and affirmation works. But if you're running from it and can't be with it, therein lies your issue. So we're going to be talking more about that and just see what unfolds.
Indeed.
How's your day going?
Sleepy. Energy's been heavy. You know, I mean, to be straight up, the energy's been heavy. And I am blessed with more time on my hands and than ever in my life. And I am learning to be gentle with myself and to just, you know, my body needs to rest. So I'm allowing it to do what it needs to do instead of me tripping about it.
Mm. I hear you.
Yeah.
That's acceptance. That's acceptance. And there may
I'm
come
getting
a
there. Let me not.
Well,
I haven't pulled up
say,
to the station yet, but I'm getting there.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, you are going through major transition, and you moving along, and there are times where you might feel like, oh, shucks, what am I going to do? What's going to happen next month? What's going to happen? You know, but there are also moments where you embrace. So it's, you know, this idea of embracing something or accepting it. The mind, the intellectual mind, the egoic mind convinces us, like, oh, you must accept and be in this particular point. Like, okay, that's it. I'm accepting it, and that means it's going to look like that for the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of the year. But no, it's a human experience. You know, I know what you've been walking through. And there's a place of acceptance, and you definitely are in touch with your humanity about it, your humanness, should I? You're definitely in touch with that. And it's important. And that's what today's show is about. That's the loneliness, the neediness, not being a burden. It's about honoring our humanness. See, the being the light, being love, being compassion, being freedom, that's easy. We know that. But how do you navigate? How do you download that in this physical plane when you have bills, when you have people in your life, where you feel like you've been betrayed, where you feel like you can't trust anybody? That's our job on here. If anything, that's our main responsibility, to be able to download what we know on a deeper level and use it to honor ourselves and open ourselves up to love and allow ourselves to be loved. So I'll say the way you walk the journey, it's one step at a time, my dear. One step at a time.
Yeah. Good thing I have a radio show to hang out and to you know, get that information. I mean, imagine, you know.
Yeah.
It's healing. I mean, you provide sacred medicine, and Juanita joins as well. It's important, and it's important, like Tamara saying, you know, I'm needy. I told her her vulnerability is always beautiful to me. She put an LOL behind that, but thank you. I'm needy,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right now.
The truth is,
well,
but here's the thing. The truth is we are all needy.
Yeah.
All of us.
Mm-hmm.
Social media showed us that we're needy. We need to create group. We need to have a fan page. We need people to like what we put on there. We need people to share our posts. But we're like, oh, yeah, I'm sharing this. We're meeting a need because we're needy. Just get over it. There's nothing wrong with you. You need to be hugged. You need to be loved. You need to feel nurtured by life, by somebody else. We all need to be hugged, embraced, and told we're okay, that we're going to make it. Call that codependency, yeah, good luck. We'll send you some prescription in a few months' time from now. I mean, there is codependency, but it's actually mm-hmm. recognizing that we're connected, you know? But anyway, there's more to come.
Looking forward to the download, my brother.
Yes,
and
yes,
there's
yes.
more to come on Life Conversations Radio and the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and the wonderful things that you're doing. So I'm going to get to it so we can get more of what your ancestors are speaking to us in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it myself.
Oh, I was going to make a joke. Let me stop. Okay, here we go.
Okay, go ahead. I'm out. I'll leave you to it, and I'll be back when you're done.
All right. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday to Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm just going to stop for just a moment. Hi, Leo. Mommy's doing the announcements right now.
Leo okay. said, I'm needy. You better hug me.
I'm doing it. Announcement. I got her wrapped up right here. Okay, baby.
Okay, pull her closer to you. Like, let Cleo show us how to be needy and ask for what we want. It's like, cut all that announcement and all that. I'm here. I'm Celeste Morgan. Just hug me.
That's funny. My cat loves my voice, and I don't speak until I really come on this show. It's really hilarious. Hi, honey. Okay, can I get back to work now?
Okay. There you go.
She heals my loneliness. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, and the occasional cat Cleo and Celeste right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach a Day. Come in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach a Day and our wonderful guest, Anissa, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, post your questions on the Ask Life Coach a Day fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations Radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach a Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. You also have access to Life Coach a Day any time of the day. You can email him any questions you may have, and he will answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachaday.com. Is there a topic you would like Life Coach a Day to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach a Day's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of October is Say Yes to Love. And we have wonderful guests lined up who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach a Day is flying solo to offer you some soul food for your consciousness. Join him for a secret healing conversation. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Mbasa Safera for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on a playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune into Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach a Day on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truth and your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Be sure to join me as well for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot and medicine cards and black angel cards to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to InspireBroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter. The Sounds of Soul with Adee Malat and Issa Loche on 12radio.com. Life Coach Today is hosting a musical show dedicated to getting you in touch with all of your senses, reminding you of your quest to love, dream, and connect with the inner freedom within, reminding us of our oneness. Join him every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern on 12radio.com. Finally, you have an opportunity to contribute to the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, then hover, don't click, on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then click the Ask Life Coach a Day drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side. Or you can go to the Ask Life Coach a Day radio show and the Life Conversations radio fan like pages on Facebook, and simply click the donate button. We thank you, family, in advance for being such a blessing. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach a Day.
Thank you, Celeste. I just had a thought. You know, I was talking about my show like a ministry, and, you know, we joke about this being church and stuff. I just realized you're the church lady who does the announcement. You're the one, hey, church.
Praise God.
Well, we having some tea and punch or whatever we have at the church. You're very welcome. You know, even the church ladies needed to keep everything flowing. People need to know what's happening in the church, so people can get they can get their healing. You know,
you have people in agreement. Yes, I need a church pew emoticon. Emoticon. However you say that word. Thanks.
Yeah, you said it right.
Electra. I'm fanning myself right now.
Mm-hmm. You get the fan.
Is my cat in the church?
You said what?
Is my cat allowed in church?
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, this is a church of oneness, the church of all a welcome, and what it comes at you all.
Been here anyway, so.
She said, I don't care what your rules are. I'm coming in. Meow. I don't care. I'm part of this. Yes.
Gotta love her.
Yeah, she's teaching us how to ask for what we want. I mean, there are no accidents. And cats know how to ask for what they want, and they let you know when they're done. You know? Mm-hmm. So the question is to the listeners, are you a cat or a dog?
I are going to roll out now.
So many places with that, but I'll let you know which vibration I'm talking about. Anyway, Celeste, thank you very much.
Leave my cat alone today. She's just well loved.
Well, actually, I am grateful for what she brought to the conversation because she's triggering this next thought, and I'm going to talk about being a cat or a dog.
That's not what I'm talking about. When I said we were about to roll, you were about to make fun of her pudginess, weren't you?
Oh, no, no. I'm not going to talk about Wobble. Oh, I mean, I wasn't going to talk about it. No.
Bye.
Bye.
He didn't tell you that, baby.
Yes, I did. Y'all should see Cleo, Celeste's cat. That cat, that song, no, stop it. I'm not going to do it. She should do a video. But anyway, I was asking you if you're a cat or a dog or both. You know, dogs, they just... they're no judgment, whatever you are. But dogs, they kind of, they want to be, what's the word? I mean, they're all domesticated. But they listen to your cue, your command. You know, they're looking for you to say, good boy, good girl. Cats are like, psh, I'm done. Stop hugging me. I'm done. I'm going out. Leave me alone. Now I want to be loved. You know, it's all about personalities. But through it all, the cat, the dog, the rabbit, the parrot, whatever kind of pets we have, they all want to be loved. They all want to be held. Children, they come and ask for a hug. They tell you when they're feeling sad. They tell you when they're hungry. They tell you when they ask for help when they need help. But somehow, we buy into this idea of being an adult, and we want to do it all by ourselves. And of course, we're talking, I mean, really on a physical level, but more on an emotional level. That's what today's conversation is about. How do we support ourselves? How do we hold ourselves when we're emotionally out of balance? How compassionate are you with yourself when you're afraid? How compassionate are you with yourself when you're feeling lonely? Especially this last few energies with the full moon, the lunar eclipse, and I mean, just the energies coming up. When you feel neediness, when you feel you want to be held, when you feel alone, when you feel that you've been abandoned, are you compassionate with yourself? Or do you judge yourself of not having the right consciousness, not spiritually matured enough? When you've been working at something for most of your life, and most of your life, this is something that you're passionate about, but it doesn't seem like you're achieving success. Are you compassionate with yourself? Are you compassionate with yourself when you feel like you can really use help, but when you look out with your physical eyes, it looks like everybody is busy, and you withdraw like a turtle. Pull your head back in like, well, I don't want to be a burden. And you're all up in there in the dark by yourself. And then asking, praying to God to do something. And God reminds you, I can only do for you what I can do through you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for questions, comments, thoughts. And Onifa, a.k.a. Root Woman, is going to be joining us soon in about 20 minutes or so. So be patient. And let's take another journey in as we prepare for a deeper conversation. And even if you're not, how do I want to put this? If you're not willing to voice the fact that you feel lonely, or not even willing to confront it, you want to ignore it, pretend it doesn't exist, or there's resistance about the resistance that you're already feeling, we want to take you on a journey to help you heal on a soul level, that you may learn how to be loving with yourself, that you may learn how to ask for what you want. And even if people are saying, you can't do that by yourself, because people will project their stuff on you so quick that if you're not clear about who and what you are, you might end up beating yourself up. There are some people who would ask for help, saying, okay, well, I know I'm supposed to ask for help. I'm going to do it. And the first person you ask could say to you, no, I'm not able to do it. And you feel crunch, like, oh, this is why I don't ask for help. Well, wouldn't you rather them tell you no, that they can't do it, instead of them saying yes and just making your life miserable? A no is not a rejection, only if you make it so. So let's go for another fearless journey. And there's a book here. Actually, I'm going to tell you this book now, because I know after that I'm going to go somewhere else. For those of you who are really, really, I mean, if you're in the healing work, if you find that you're the person that people come to for advice, I strongly recommend this book called How Can I Help? by Ram Dass and Paul Gorman. That's Ram Dass, R-A-M-D-A-S-S. That's right, Ram Dass, you know him. And Paul Gorman. Paul, G-O-R-M-A-N, Gorman. The book is called How Can I Help? Stories and Reflections on Service. And even if you're not in the service industry, it can help you to recognize that we all have a need to help. We're just naturally needy. It's the way it is. We need each other, right? So if we need each other, so we need ourselves. Let's go on a journey and find out what comes up. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Today's topic is loneliness, neediness, and being a burden. And we're supporting you to say yes to love. You ready?
Go.
And as the sun shines and permeates our minds, our hearts, and our souls, we allow ourselves to feel the waves under our feet, the waves of remembrance. We allow ourselves to flow as the waters flow. We allow ourselves to accept as the waters accept. With the ebb and flow of the waves, we take flight, we take passage, stopping only to reflect on what has been learned up to this moment. And as we grasp the understanding the lessons have brought us, we take the strength that comes from learning.
and we apply this to everything, every situation we meet. Loving and trusting as we move forward. Perseverance in action. Each step deliberate. The last. For we know that our love for all that is will keep us walking through this life's journey. We know that if we stop, it's only to reflect. We never ever have to go backwards. We never have to regret, for truly there are no regrets. There only is. And we move forward without fear. We move forward to the source of life from which we came, knowing that everything is evolving and revolving, moving, flowing, spinning, spiraling. We find peace, knowing that what we want, what we desire, is only one step ahead of us. And if we keep moving, we will meet with our desire, and we will welcome our desire, and we will embrace our desire and know that we truly deserve our desire, giving thanks in each step for all the blessings. Breath, movement, sound, taste, smell, give thanks for perception, health, and the wealth of health. We honor and we give thanks. Always knowing that the solution resides within the soul, and the song of the soul, if it is worn, we will soar and we will fly over each obstacle we encounter, obstacles that in fact have come from our fears. These lessons in life. They are divine.
Fearless journey. The journey to the truth of who we are. That's Ambassador Safira guiding us on a journey within, a journey to truth. And in that journey, we must embrace, we must allow our humanness. That's what today's conversation is about. To find out more about Ambassador's work, her website address is ambassa.com, O-M-B-A-S-S-A.com. And as I said earlier, you can go to soulpowerlive.com to find out about upcoming retreat that she is facilitating with some other sisters for females, for women, in Atlanta, Georgia, November 15th to the 17th. That's soulpowerlive.com. And you are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are talking about loneliness, neediness, and being a burden. What makes us, that what reminds us of our humanity. You know, I always talk about the humanity. We've evolved to a space now, to a stage, or to a place and space in consciousness, in the human evolution of learning to interdepend. You know, we did the dependency thing where, you know, you had to go through somebody to get through God and somebody else had the power. And then we start branching out into the spiritual path where we understand that we are the power, that we are the one, that we have direct contact to the divine, that we have direct contact to God, that we are one with God. And in our liberation, because what here's a trick, you know, this spiritual truth is a trick sometimes, because if you're in pain, if you've gone through hell and you hear the spiritual truth, it can sound like one of those commercials on television. The only difference is, you know the commercials I'm talking about, the only difference is you're not told when it comes to spiritual truth, for the most part, generally speaking. You don't always hear the side effects. It's until you bite into recognizing that you are loved, that you are one with everybody and everybody is a reflection of you, that you start to get in touch with stuff. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Why is it that I'm meditating and I'm doing this and I'm feeling pain and I'm afraid and my heart is hurting and you say keep loving? I don't think I can do this because that's part of the process. I feel alone, but I'm not supposed to feel alone because I'm one with God, right? And if you take alone and you separate them, it becomes all one. So why am I feeling alone? There's something wrong with me. No, there's nothing wrong with you. As a matter of fact, there's something right with you, the fact that you can connect with that. So in the spiritual path and journey, we get to really recognize our spiritual identity. We get to know the truth. We become so clear about the spiritual truth. But we sometimes forget that we must confess and face the personal truth. What are your personal truths? Well, I help you figure them out by asking you questions. What was the catalyst for you getting on a spiritual path? For some people, you picked up a book and it just spoke to you. But even in that, there was something going on that you felt that maybe there was more, or there was too much pain, too much suffering. It could have been health. You may have had an out-of-body experience, a near-death experience, but something happened. Now, based on where you are in consciousness, you may embrace all of life, understanding that the suffering and the loneliness, the neediness, and the jealousy, all the negative emotions are part of being human. And at the end of the day, it's something to just watch, to be a witness, an observer of those emotions when they come up for you, as opposed to now judge yourself because you know that you are spiritual. It's about embracing both the spiritual truth and the personal truth. And we don't always, generally, I mean, loneliness, neediness, being a burden, shame, guilt, those things we don't want to talk about it. We got a question that speaks directly to that. I'm going to wait till Onifa is here before we talk about it. Talk about it. Talk. What are we talking about before we talk about what? The question. That's right. But we don't want to talk about shame because to confess to somebody else, I have my moments. I have my moment where there are things that I'm going through that I do not like. I just can't bring myself to embrace it. And if I can embrace it, I sure as hell ain't telling nobody about it. And if I try and I'm not quite comfortable, I'm like holding on to every word they say. And if they say, see, your problem is, thankfully, I've had people like that. Ooh, I've had people like that in my life. But I can't say, well, I may have people like that in my life, but they don't say it to my face. Not that I'm going to do anything. But I can say that I'm surrounded by people who can hold me in the light, challenge me to face what needs to be faced. But I remember an experience many, many, many years ago. And for those of you who don't know, but most of you know that my home church is Hillside International Truth Center. Dr. Barbara King's church is a New Thought church, teaches, of course, it's a New Thought church. What other church I can do? I'm sorry, I just couldn't. I mean, I can go anywhere. I can go to a church, I can go to a mosque, a temple, but on a regular basis, I cannot go to a place where they're telling me something other than oneness. I digress. Come back to the point. So anyway, Hillside teaches prosperity, that all that we need desires right here. And in the early age of my growth, when my childhood stages of spirituality, remembering who I am or who I was then, I had a car, and the car wasn't working. It needed to be towed. And I was in a ministerial school with a friend. Well, I don't know. I guess it's a friend. Yeah, we'll call him a friend. No, it's not. I'm not even gonna contaminate that word and call him a friend. He's not an enemy either. He was just a student. There you go. We were in a class together. And he had a towing business. And so I wasn't, and I'm better now, but I wasn't really good at asking for help, because needing help to me was a reflection of my weakness that I was trying to get rid of. I wanted to move that part away. And I didn't have the money to fix the car or even get the car towed, but the car needed to be fixed and towed. So it just came to me. I think I'm just having a conversation with God. It's like, who do I call? And he came to mind. His name is almost coming back. I heard his name. If you'd asked me a few minutes ago, I wouldn't even know. It just came to me, but I'm not going to say his name. But anyway, so Spirit said, call him. So I went ahead and called him, and I asked if he can help me. He said, yeah, and he told me what his rate was. And I want you to take this example. Do not ever do this to anybody. It is just the worst thing you can, for me, it is the worst thing you can do to somebody who needs help. So I asked him, he told me his rate. I said, well, this, right now I don't have any money. He said, you don't have any money? How can you go to Hillside and not have money? What happened to your prosperity consciousness? Oh, my God, kill me now. Oh, that brother was ripping into my heart. You know, I don't even remember what happened. I don't know what I said. Well, I think I must have got a little bit defensive, like, yeah, I go to a Hillside and I'm still growing, but I don't have the money, but that doesn't mean, I'm sure I got defensive, because I know me. It's like, oh no, you're going to kill me, you're going to have to work hard for this. He ain't just going to knock me out like that. But I don't even know, I don't think he towed the car, I don't think he did, I don't ever remember. But my main point is that it's the idea of him saying to me, you go to a church where they teach you about prosperity and you don't have any money. You know, we get so intellectual about this thing called truth that we are of no use to people. He may tell me something different, but I doubt if that's the guidance he got from Spirit. I wholeheartedly doubt that he checked in and Spirit told him, this is what he needs to say to me. Maybe, but I doubt it. That was coming from the egoic mind. That was coming from somebody who is challenging me on my prosperity consciousness, but theirs wasn't wide enough, if you will, deep enough to say, you know what, even though you're working in your prosperity consciousness, I'm going to tow the car for you. Because I don't think he did it. No, he didn't, because I would have known. You know, you just sit in a truck with him. But it's like those moments when they happen, it's easy to kind of say, you know, I'm never going to ask for help anymore. But you do yourself a disservice when you do that. I mean, I still, actually, as I talk about it, I can feel the intensity of that conversation. Whew. Thanks, Electra. Yeah, I'm going to continue to breathe. Let me take a deep breath. I need to do more forgiveness work. Truly need to do more forgiveness work there, because I'm in touch with some sting. Slight, not intense. Well, it is slightly intense. It's not as intense. Let's put it. It's not fiery. It's hard enough for me to still be able to touch it, but not hard enough for me not to want to touch it, if you see what I mean. But, you know, it's creating a space for ourselves that we can allow life to give back to us, to give back to us. And it's about honoring your personal truth. If you need help, you need help. You know, Onifa and I will talk more about the idea of not appearing needy, other people not want to be around needy people. And we talked about that in a previous show. But I'm going to kind of hold back. There's more that's rushing through me right now. Yes, I'm going to hold back. I'm going to wait till Onifa comes. That's right. And actually, I think what we're going to do, I'm going to take a, oh, it's almost 1 o'clock. Yeah, let's take a break. And as I said that, Onifa just popped in. The priestess is in the house, the root woman. So yes, let's take a break. And then we'll do Celestial Moment. And continue the conversation on loneliness even, neediness, and not wanting to be a burden. What's your story? You can post your questions, your comments, your thoughts on the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show fan page, like page, what I call land page, like and fan together. That's what I come up with, land page. Or you can post it on the, if you've liked the Life Conversations Radio land page, like fan page, post it on there. You can post it in the chat room, but it's easier for us to get to the chat, to get to it on the like pages. I know Celeste will catch the one in the chat room. Or if you want to call in and maybe you're moving through something and you need some help and you are okay with being needy and you don't mind being a burden because you got two people here who can support you, and you just say yes to your blessing. You're not all up in your head. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. And we also invite you to donate to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. If the show has touched you, moved you, activated your healing in any way, you can go to the like pages or lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. We are going to take a break. You're going to hear something that tells you to be the change you want to see, but doesn't mean doing it alone. It simply means being the change by allowing others to support you. You step into healing the judgment of loneliness, neediness, and not wanting to be a burden. We'll be back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
That's right. Love is my intention. For more information about the sponsorship package, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own. Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
I just love Jack's voice. It's like his voice is this drum in my head. It's like a little bass. If you have a headset on and you hear it, you can hear what I hear. But anyway, it's time for Celestial Moment, and then Onifa is in the house. She's got us already invoking the ancestors, so you get ready to take off to break the shell, because you can't fly until you break the shell. Celeste Morgan, how are you doing? Welcome back. Where's your song? I can't find it. You gave me doing too much. All right. It's right here. Okay. All right, good. There you go.
Here I am. Yes, yes. We have an amazing number wedding today. One of my favorites and a lot of people. So I'm going to jump right into it. All right?
All right.
Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moments. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 11. Double your pleasure when you tap into being the master of your own life. 11 is a master number. It is said to be the most intuitive of all numbers, representing illumination and a channel to the subconscious. 11 is the dreamer in the Black Angel cards, and the dreamer is dreaming the largest vision of life that she could have imagined. 11 can be either strength or justice, depending on your tarot deck. I lean more towards strength. I'm going to ask for double the strength, which happens when we focus on gentle persistence, calm, and peace to get the job done. The 11th letter of the alphabet is K, and words like kindness, kinship, and kingdom connect us to the magical power of 11. Now today we're going to put the spotlight on how 11 shows up in the medicine card. It's the mighty moose. Moose, help me to honor the gifts I can give and recognize my worthiness long as I live. The operative words here are honor and recognize. Moose can be found in the north of the medicine wheel, and our true north is connected to wisdom. Do you have the wisdom to honor and recognize your spiritual inheritance? Deep appreciation of your own delightful essence or talents, and the ability to share those gifts from a place of grounded self-esteem. Self-esteem is the medicine of moose because it represents the power of recognizing that wisdom has been used in the situation, and that recognition or a pat on the back is deserved. The moose does not bellow to show off. The moose is overcome by his own joy song, and he can't help but pass that good news along. That's why he's also credited with grandfather energy as he goes about his sacred duty of teaching the young ones about his path. As the largest member of the deer family, the moose comes with gentleness, and with its build, it can start a stampede just like a buffalo. With wisdom and heart being your guide, the can be like the moon. So let us keep coming boldly to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is from Hebrews 4:16, and they aren't just pretty words. It's a master scripture. The location equals 11. It is a state of consciousness, the moose consciousness, the consciousness of a healthy self-esteem where we are not afraid to ask for the help we need. All is well, and that's the story of 11 told through the moose of medicine cards. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste, Spider Woman, weaving it all together. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yes, yes, yes. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. My sister, my friend, my priestess is in the house. I love this woman so dearly. She is love in action. She is a mother. She knows how to express that love and speak to your heart. She smiles, she listens, and then she would just, I am grateful to call her my friend. I'm going to read a little bit about her here. and it's just, I mean, I don't think there's enough that you can write about her. There's not enough. There ain't, what am I trying to say? See, that's the point. So just read. Because even if you try, you just can't get it together. You just need to experience her. She is the root woman. Okay, here, let me pull this up. I'm doing a lot of different things here, too. So, Onifa Funke Adesanya Awuyade is a priestess, author, educator, a ritual artist. She is the co-founder of Reiki Services and the foundress of the Institute of Africana Cosmology. She's also the recipient of the Iyanna Van Zandt Award for Transformative Spirituality in 2008. She carries spirit so well. Just her presence, her smile, her energy will heal you. And I just want you to welcome my sister friend. She is my spiritual midwife, and that's Onifa Funke. Hey, 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 my sister friend, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back. And I just want to give thanks to our ancestors for bringing us all together today, wherever we may be, hearing these words. And I'm grateful for you being in my life as the person who gives me an opportunity to do the work I came here to do. So thank you. And thank you for healing us through your music. I heard the music in the background. I heard you find Celeste's music. Celeste. Music. So thank you for healing us through what you do, and I appreciate you as well.
I'm giving you a big hug, and I am not afraid to say I need you because we need each other.
Yes, we do. I need you too. You know, we do need each other. That's the best way to open this conversation. Mm-hmm. We all need each other, for real. That's mm-hmm. real. So, yes, I embrace that and give a hug back.
So, I want to ask you this question. I read a tiny little bit about you. I've shared my personal experience with the listeners, but I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Onifa Funke Adesanya?
Oh, wow. I am a multidimensional being experiencing this time and space at this moment.
Yes, you are truly that. You're truly that. And you are a Gemini, so that can change, right, or not?
This is true. This is so true. Yes, I am. I'm just experiencing this time and space with you all, and I'm so glad to be here.
Yes, yes. So, as you know, this is a continuation of a conversation we had a few months ago, and we titled that conversation Loneliness, Neediness, and Abandonment. So we've kind of taken up a notch, you know, the idea of loneliness and neediness and being a burden in the perspective of people saying, well, you know, they need help, but they don't want to ask because they don't want to be a burden. And we're all walking around needing someone to lean on, but it's like, well, I don't want to ask because I don't want to be judged. So really, what I'm going to do right now is just kind of throw it to you. Let's just have a conversation. At this moment, there are questions that I have for you. I just want to hear what comes up for you when you hear loneliness, neediness, and being a burden.
Thank you. What comes up for me is something a elder sister friend taught me who the elder sister friend gave a word to an experience I had witnessed, and the word was culture-bound syndrome. And I do believe for the psychologists out there and the counselors who are trained in the state-approved schools of training for counseling, that it's in the DSMV, that book that they use to diagnose people with different maladies. But I think that today what has stood out for me is that I'm concerned that we are losing the skill set to be in community, in connection with each other. I think the word community has been tossed out, you know, regularly as something we should work toward, but I'm not sure we really know what to do because we may be following in the footsteps of a cultural phenomena which has given us a mixed message. So part of the message is get your own car, your own house, and your own money, and go shop for your own clothes and bring all that stuff home with you and then sit in the house with it by yourself. That's one message. And if you love somebody, love them enough to make them sign a piece of paper that they won't leave with your stuff, your car, your house, and your clothes, and your rings or whatever. And then if you love them anyway and they decide to love someone else in a different way or they don't love you the way you want them to love you, then make sure you keep your house and your car and your stuff. Okay, that's interesting. I get that. But are we really talking about, like, people? What do you say to someone when they lose a loved one? What do you say when they lose a relationship? What do you say when they lose a job? When people say, I'm here for you, I don't think we're practicing how to do that anymore. And I think there's a greater fear underneath the loneliness, abandonment, and neediness, which is even if you reach out, what if no one reaches back? And what if they don't reach back? Because, you know, we're not practicing. My grandmother was born in 1914, so she had stories for the 30s and, you know, the Great Depression, how people were there for each other. But I'm not sure if we are practicing being there for each other enough to feel confident to extend it to other people. And so I think this conversation has great ramifications. Even if someone is listening and they can't identify with their own personal loneliness, neediness, or abandonment issues, I would ask them to please hang on and try to identify with how you are there for other people. And, and we need to practice that because I don't think we're doing that. That's where the conversation came in for me.
Right.
So even if someone does reach out, what do you reach back with?
Well, I certainly know what you reach back with, and I want to actually talk about that, but not necessarily partly my experience, because it's this whole thing about practicing it, and you demonstrated that for me, which is what started this conversation in the first place. And it's a conversation I shared in the last show that I had called you and left a message, and, well, we use Vox, and I left a message, you know, it's just all a bit transparent. And I can't remember, I was dealing with something, and I said, what was it? Was it saying I didn't want to sound needy or I'm feeling like I'm lonely and something? And you just came back and you said, you know, you responded back. You said, well, what's wrong with neediness? What's wrong with loneliness? And the things that you, the questions that you were asking, not some, it was like you were just having a conversation with me and the question was just bringing up, it was bringing so much. It's like, wow. In that moment, just your response was healing me. And it has helped me to practice being there for myself and others. But I want to hear you. I mean, I've had that personal experience with you. What would you share with listeners? How would you show them how to practice being there for others, being there for themselves, especially if we've forgotten how to do that?
Thank you for asking that question. And it's twofold. One thing that may be a little esoteric to start off with is it's not either or. So it's not a question of I can't come over because I have to go to work or I would love to be at the, you know, at your event, but I can't. I have to pick up the kids. So this whole dichotomy that we've accepted and the way we manipulate time, we don't have enough of it. I just can't be there for you. I think we have to shush that immediately. Mm-hmm. You just decide that you're going to be in more than one place at once. Like you said to me, who are you? I'm a multidimensional being. I could have said I'm experiencing different times all at once. And people would think I'm over here snorting something. I'm not. I am a priestess of Obatala who does not indulge in substances outside of, and I don't go to doctors, so I don't indulge in any non-prescription items to help me expand my mind. Mm. I can say, though, that at some point one must step outside of the false constraints of your schedule and your time, and it looks like this. I'm going to come by your house on my way to work and drop off a plate of food, or I'm going to call you on my lunch break. You fit people into your life that you care about wherever you can fit them in. Now, this has a problem, though, because people who are really needy and have other issues going on, because there's a hunger that develops after your needs haven't been met for so long, they may come back with, I don't want you to fit me in. You should just drop everything and be here for me. That's another discussion for another radio show, because there is this discussion of when you respond to the needy and they seek to, you know, absorb all your life force, what do you do? Because some people are really needy because they've been hungry a long time. But the first thing you do is, to me, fit people into your world in the spot that you can honestly fit them into. And the second thing you do is ask yourself the question before you open your mouth, what is wrong with what this person is sharing with me? Mm. I think you hit it on the head before, and I have an example to share from my own life. I was interacting with someone around a business deal, and it was a very good business deal, and I was very happy with it. And in the middle of this business deal, I found that the person was, in addition to business, was developing or reaching out to develop a friendship with me, which is fine. I like friendship, right? Everything is good so far. That's a good thing. And then I realized the subject matter of this radio show was coming up within that friendship. It was like, you know, there's these empty spots in this business partner's life that hadn't been dealt with in some time. And this person saw me as someone they could confide in. And I said, that's great. And I had to stop in my tracks and look at my own judgments around the boundaries of business, personal, and all this other stuff. Because, you know, I went to school in the Matrix, and they taught me you have these boundaries, and you talk a certain way, and, you know, you're all stiff and all this. And so I think it's a constant self-exploration of asking even yourself, what's wrong with a business partner at lunch breaking down over his mother dying of cancer? What's wrong with that? At what point do you say that's not professional? You know? So you have to constantly, I think, assess what's wrong with, and answer the question for yourself. And once you come to a place of recognizing that people can bring their whole self to you and you can see them, you don't have to fix them. You don't have to loan them money. You don't have to give them your car. You know, keep your things if that's your thing. You know, hold on to the pretty ring. Don't give them your stuff. But you can see them. Just seeing somebody is powerful and healing, because most people aren't seen and they're not heard. They just give us these little pieces of themselves at work, at church, you know, in the community, at the co-op, at Whole Foods. We see this mask. And if you are willing to sit and be present when they can peel off the mask, and just be present for them. Don't fix them. Don't wipe them up. Don't take them home and make love to them. Just see them. I think that is the biggest key, because then you're willing to see yourself. And, of course, your statement of what's wrong with that comes up, and you find out there's nothing wrong with it. God made you just the way she wanted to make you, and you're fine just the way you are. I mean, so what's wrong with being sad, happy, lonely, needy? What could be wrong with who you're made in the but they say in the Bible you're made in the image of God. Mm-hmm. So you think there's something wrong with God? No. So stop tripping. and just be present.
Stop so tripping and be present.
Yeah,
you know,
just be present.
You've shared so much there. And, I'm going to tie, because there's several questions that come up for me, and I just want you to sort of unpack it. You talk about, you know, there are people who hunger. There's a certain kind of hunger that develops after being needy for so long. So mm-hmm. if I'm saying I'm going to drop some food on my way to work, they may want me to stay. They're not even thinking about me going to work. They're like, okay. But it's somehow unconsciously or consciously unconscious, they know they're going to just keep talking and, okay, got to go. Now, I know you got to go. And how do we deal with that while trying to practice being there for someone? And you know, because if we're saying, well, I know, I really want to practice being there for someone, and I remember what Onifa said, and, you know, this person has definitely developed a hunger, and I really want to be there for them, but they just will keep me. I'm going to get there late. It's happened before, but I just can't do it. I want to. As a matter of fact, I'm actually conflicted now. I don't know how to be there for them. What can we do?
That's a great example, and it happens quite a bit, I think, more than we recognize. I think in the words of the street slang, you have to let them see themselves. So the encounter may look like this. I'm going to come by on my way to work and drop off a casserole. Now, stop right there. You know that you normally can get to work in 15 minutes because you have a little funk science you put together because you hit the alarm and jump out, right? But you're going to get up 2 hours early to drive across town and drop this off. So there's two things. One thing you can do is make enough time. If you're going to do it on your way to work anyway, build in an extra 30 minutes. You really could. You're already getting up earlier. I mean, there's no need to squeeze them out. If you really cannot do that because you're carpooling or, you know, there's children involved or whatever responsibilities you have, the next thing would be, I need to drop this off at your house. I won't be able to stay. I want you to know I care about you and I'm praying for you, and I will talk to you, you know, later tonight or next week or tomorrow, what have you. Now, when I say see themselves, a lot of hungry people will create a problem around that. If you really were my friend, you wouldn't just drop food off. What does it mean, dropping stuff off on your way to get somewhere? That's not really friendship. That's not really being there for me. And this is the unspoken message. Mm-hmm. They know what being there for them looks like, but they haven't shared it with you. Mm-hmm. So now you're stepping into what other people in the regular world call dysfunctionality. I haven't told you what I need, but yet I want you to provide it. And so there's some kind of pre-verbal childhood thing happening where they can't express it verbally. You're not meeting it. You're not really a friend. And if you really were, you wouldn't drop it off. And what does it mean to drop it off? So I've noticed that there's an anger that can come from that hunger, that emotional hunger. And people create all these walls and fences around how you have to meet them with red shoes on, with a little yellow hat, and knock on the door with your left hand on a Thursday. And I'm listening to them, and they've created all these weird, like, frameworks around how it must look for them to deem it worthy. And yet they're at home crying into the pillow at night. And they can't see how all these weird little boundaries keep them alone and lonely. So your work as a life coach, I think, is so expressly valuable, in helping them to unpack that, because traditional counseling, in my experience, being a student of it and actually partaking of it, does not help you to unpack things. They're kind of taught to lay there or sit there, and they don't lay there, sit there and let you talk. And life coaching is more interactive in my limited experience of it. So interacting with you, though, your style, I find is much more interactive. So when you have someone who is so needy that they're hungry and that hunger has now turned to anger, I think, again, it's time for you to look at yourself and really do a gut check and ask yourself, are you being there for them because you want their appreciation and the gratitude from them, or can you be there for them in a way that is maybe not going to get you a kudo or a thank you note, but you're doing the right thing? And I think at this point, many of us have become paramedics of the emotionally deprived, meaning you show up, They've been in an accident, some kind of emotional crash has happened, right? So they've had this emotional conflagration of, you know, something blew up. You show up with your little gurney and your special tools, and you pull out your crystals and your Reiki, and you're trying to patch them up so they can get to the hospital. But the problem is that we don't have any emotional hospitals anymore. There's no home care for them when you release them from the clinic. And the paramedic is like, well, they didn't appreciate me taking them to the hospital. I mean, come on, that would look ridiculous if we really had paramedics saying they didn't appreciate me showing up at the site of the car accident. We don't have those moments because we know they're inappropriate. I think those of us in the healing profession, and this may not be for many of your listeners, some of them may not be healers, but for those of us in the healing profession, by vocation, by destiny, by whatever way you got here to hear this, and you know you're healing people, we have to recognize we are paramedics in a world full of emotional catastrophes. And when you show up doing your work, people may not understand why you dropped off the casserole. And you have to be tough enough to drop off that casserole, hug them, tell them you love them, and you got to go. And you got to face the fact that they may think that friendship can't continue. They may think you're not really there for them. They may think you really aren't sincere. But at that point, they need more intensive care than you can give them as a paramedic. And then you have to look at your own self. Like, have you signed up to do that intensive care work? Are you a specialist in that kind of twisted, distorted thinking that came from them being so alone and so scared for so many years that now they have a 12-step program you have to do to prove you're their friend? Okay. Are you there to do that? Because you know what I mean. Really.
Yes.
You know, the people who say, you haven't done enough for me because you didn't wear your blue shoes. And you're like, what? You know, and well, if you really were my friend, you would come and sit with me. And these people are nice and kind. They're usually givers. And their main litany is, well, we give all the time, but, you know, people take advantage of us. And then they go through this laundry list of how other people aren't meeting their needs. They need intensive care. So giving them a casserole may or may not get you a thank you, but you don't give them the casserole for them to thank you or love you. You're doing it because you're doing the right thing. Universally speaking, you're paying it forward. You're putting energy out even in the face of someone who may not recognize what you're doing. You're more of a global connected healer at that point. You're shifting the paradigm. You can't meet some of these people where they are because it would be like on What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, that wonderful film of the afterlife, where he had to go down and see his wife. Spoiler alert for you all. But if anyone has not seen that film, see it. His wife committed suicide, and he went into the so-called afterlife. He was already there, but he went to get her out, and at some point he himself began to shift into her madness. That's what happens if you start meeting the needs of people who are so lonely and so distorted and so abandoned and so traumatized and so wounded that they're empty pits, and there's nothing you could do, even if you quit your job and moved in with them. This still is not enough for them. And I think as a paramedic of the heart, you have to be get some continuing education so you can recognize that in people and love them and still not abandon them. So I know it's a long answer, but...
No, no, don't say that. Please don't say that. I'm sitting there with a smile on my face saying, I just love this woman. Oh, my God. Whew, let's just take all that in because there's so much that you dropped in there. I love the paramedic of the emotional deprived, and you're speaking to real life experiences, and you know it's part of what you're saying here. I find that's why people don't want to help sometimes because they get in that situation and they feel like, you know, that sometimes the person helping helps in order to be seen as a good friend, and then there's this trap that happens, and they don't like what they feel because they're trying to be a good friend, but the friend they're helping doesn't appreciate their friendship, so now, you know, they kind of separate themselves, and it just creates all this other madness, and there's so much, oh my God. Okay, so if you're just joining us, my guest is Onifa Funke Adesanya Awuyade. She's a priestess and author, truly a healer, a compassionate human being. She is the founder of the Africana Cosmology. And you also have a meetup group, right?
Yes, I do, in Atlantis, the Atlanta Africana Spirituality Group. It's a meetup group in Atlanta, and I also am facilitator for the Pacific Northwest Women's Orisha Voodoo Meetup Group, and I have two co-facilitators on that. Yes, thank you for mentioning
and
that.
What's the best website for our listeners? For you?
It would be Sister Healer, www.sisterhealer, S-I-S-T-A-H, as in Henry, E-A-L-E-R.com. That would be a good general all-purpose website. However, I think I have what the children call a cyber platform, that our social media platform or something, where I am I'm on Twitter under Root Woman with an I, and Facebook and LinkedIn. So apparently I have a social media platform that I have yet to fully recognize or understand the gravity of. And so there it is. Yeah.
Well, because you use high tech, but you're more of a soft touch kind of person. You like touching it and meeting with the people. So that's great. Now, let's continue this conversation. We're not even going to take a break. We're just going to take it all the way through because you have so much. Let's talk about being a burden, and because there's so much we can talk, you know, I don't know, let's see. Yeah, let's talk about being a burden, because sometimes it's relevant, but I'm going to leave it alone. Let's talk about being a burden. Now, people who don't want to ask for help because they don't want to be a burden, and they end up going so long that now they develop a hunger. So They cut themselves off by not wanting to be a burden, but they go so long being needy that now they can't even get the help because they're so emotionally deprived. Can you speak on not wanting to be a burden and how we can shift that and kind of embrace and again maybe look within what's really going on so we can break ourselves free from it?
The first thing I'd say they'd have to do is turn off the television and really sit back with a pencil and paper and ask, what is being a burden? It can't come from the Kardashians outfit, and it can't come from Entertainment Tonight and American Idol and whatever Coven story is on. It can't come from none of that. It really, if people took a diet away from TV for a week, I've seen it happen. I've seen regular people who shop at regular stores. And when I say regular stores, I mean there's nothing organic happening. These are people who, you know, food comes out of boxes and, you know, they don't know where the food comes from and they think it tastes good if they put a lot of salt on it. Really regular people. They're not doing no Whole Foods and nothing. Just it came out of a box. It had a picture on it. It looked like the picture, right? So they're eating a lot of non-nutritious foods. That's my point. But the food may not have ever been alive. It may have all been created in the laboratory and they eat it for taste. They don't take vitamins. No, I'm not trying to be funny, but
you're not. What's funny to me is you're speaking the truth in sort of matter of fact. That's what I find funny. It's like as you're saying it, and it's like people are like, yeah, you know, that's true. Wait, that's me. But that's what I'm laughing at. So much truth in what you're saying.
Thank you. I hope that no one feels disparaged by that. But you know, if your food comes out of a box and it didn't come out the ground very recently, it's probably made in a chemical factory where there's things. Anytime you pick up a box and you can't pronounce what's on it and the ingredients, and that was the best thing when they put ingredients on the box and people can't pronounce it, they don't know what it is, but they keep eating it. Whenever you're doing that, more than likely your brain, literally, your body cells have not had good nutrition for a while, you know. And if that's your primary diet. So these are the people I'm talking about. And they wear what they saw on TV to wear because someone told them it looked good. They're not making many independent choices and so forth. So they're living their life. And they know something's not happening, but they don't know what it is. I have been privy to the process of unfolding with those folks when they are deprived of their outward stimuli, be it their cell phone or their internet or whatever it is that keeps them plugged into what they should be doing next. And what comes out of them is it's almost like a detoxing thing. At first they're angry and frustrated, much like someone who is detoxing from heroin or an opiate addiction would be. They're angry, they're frustrated. Some of them develop physical manifestations of this. A lot of gastrointestinal distress will happen. And then they begin to come up with their truth. So I think the first thing to do around being a burden is to figure out what is a burden. Because a burden for you may be exactly what I welcome in my life. I have a friend who's getting married, and she was getting married due to various legal issues in her life. And it sounded like a good plan. And what began to unfold throughout this process was she uncovered that she really wanted to be really married, like forget the legal stuff, but what if there really was someone that she could share her life with fully? And that unfolding blossomed in her to do a lot of self-realization. My point being, I'm not sure what a burden is to you may not be welcomed as a loving companion to your neighbor. I don't know. And you may not know. So you really ought to figure out the definition. And most people, my point about the food, most people are unable to do that kind of unpacking because they have a short attention span. They're full of stuff they bought at the drugstore so they can go to sleep, wake up, get rid of mucus or whatever it is. They're regulating their body with chemicals. They're eating. They're too saturated with toxins. So it's kind of hard to get an answer from someone because they don't have the energetic capacity to answer the question. It isn't that they don't like you or they don't want to go deeper, but energetically their body just doesn't have the reserve to answer their own question. What is a burden? I don't know. Okay. But once they figure that out, you'd be surprised how many of that person's burdens may be another person's paradise. So that's my answer on that. But most people are unable to really unpack that. I mean, they don't have the, you know, they're worried about going to work or what they're going to wear and who's going to pay the car note. And they're just so oversaturated with so much stimuli that pulls them in all these different directions. They just can't stay with it long enough to get the answer.
And sometimes the I don't want to be a burden is more of a front. A mask is what you're saying, is a mask to protect oneself. Or, you know, some people can't access what that means. But sometimes I find that it's just a mask of not wanting to appear weak or feeling rejected and all that comes with that. And being vulnerable, really, being vulnerable. I get that. There's a question I want to ask you. We've got two email questions. And listeners, if you want to call in, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Now, let me ask you this question first before I go to the emailed question. One of the things that you are passionate about, your work, is about, you know, honoring ancestors and the role they play in our lives. Can you speak on how honoring, recognizing our ancestors can help us on this journey of humanness in areas of loneliness, neediness, and the mask of not wanting to be a burden?
Yes, two answers very quickly. One is many times you may be responding to stimuli coming from the spirit world, so your fear of being a burden may really be your great Aunt Lucy's fear of being a burden. And she's kind of tugging at you, sharing that emotional awareness with you. And if you develop an ancestral recognition practice, which could be once a year, you go to the family graves, clean them off and put flowers on them, or you have a gathering of your family and community and you cook their favorite foods and tell stories about them, or you pull out the pictures that your mom gave you and put them on the wall and keep them nice and neat and clean, little simple things where they know they're not forgotten. And there's other additional things. You light a candle, you pray. If you're Catholic, you have a mass done. Those things can go a long way to having Aunt Lucy's neediness kind of back up from you a bit. Because she may be tugging at you with an emotional awareness so you won't forget her. Not so you'll be abandoned or needy or burdened or what have, or be a burden, but so you won't forget her journey. Maybe in life that was something she experienced. It could be something that she's unable to release now that she's on the other side of the veil and she's relying on your prayers and your remembrance to help her elevate, which is a different show, but that's real. The other part of it is that if you're doing this ancestor work, then you're never alone, so there is no loneliness. You have a house full of people who will show up for you and show up in your dreams. They'll show up for you at the bank. You meet someone who has your grandfather's name, and it was a strange name, and they happen to mention something he likes to eat. I mean, so you're really not alone. So loneliness, again, has to be defined a little more carefully than I live alone. Well, that's not it. 'Cause if you're doing your ancestor work, your ancestral work can really plug you into the fact that you are literally never alone. There are always spirits with you, even as we speak, helping us to get through to the next step and trying to impart information to us.
Yes. Let me ask you this question. When you talk about honoring and recognizing ancestors, what about people who would say, well, but I am my own person and my ancestors have died. They're not here anymore. What do you mean they're tugging at me? How can that be affecting me? I mean, they're gone.
That's a good point. For people who believe that death is the end of all existence, maybe that would be something they would deal with on that level. The other folk, we would have to back up that conversation, again, to just unpack it. What do they think happens after death? Because to understand that your ancestors are with you, you can do it scientifically or spiritually. Spiritually, you know, you right now and I are inhabiting a body and making our lips move and we're holding little mechanical things and making it happen. However, I'm clear that my soul and my spirit is animating my body. And that soul and spirit will continue on once my body is no longer animated. That's a spiritual answer. People who don't believe that, okay, got it. The scientific answer would be the way they can pull up a, I just saw they found a grave in Turkey, an undisturbed archaeological dig found an undisturbed grave of a civilization whose name I can't remember. And they opened it up and found some flower seeds, and they planted the seeds, and the seeds grew. So scientifically, we know that we can find 4,000-year-old seeds, and they've also done this in Kemet, which other people may know as Egypt, and they've opened up graves and tombs and found wine, and the wine was still, you know, somewhat drinkable. I don't know who tried it, but they did, and you know how this goes. So my point is, you know, the dormancy of something does not, even now, we find bones, DNA, we find in digs, they go in and pull out the DNA, and they can identify who the bones belong to with the proper records to match it up on the other side. So my point is, scientifically, even though these are bones, there's still something in them that we can reach into and recognize a connection to other people. So for someone to say, my ancestors are dead, how can they affect me? You would first have to have some sort of spiritual recognition or scientific recognition that physical death does not mean the complete annihilation of the energetic reality. So either you're going with the God force or you're going with the CSI people. But in either event, death doesn't mean when you're dead, it's all done and over. And for the people saying, what does CSI have to do with it? In addition to determining the DNA identity, we all know about cloning and splicing, and they are actually, the scientific community are actively bringing back species of plants from fossils, not from a living leaf that you stick in water, but they're digging up stuff over in Antarctica that's been buried under ice for, they say, millions of years. And it's not alive. It's been under ice, so it's what you could think of as dead. And they're able to pull something out of it and reconstitute a new one. So why wouldn't we be able to do that with the human spirit and the human soul? That's what I would say to that. And actually, DNA speaking, you are still carrying their bloodline. So if you want to stick with science and you believe that substance abuse and depression and these things can be explained by science and not God, fine. Then we all know genetically some people are predisposed to breast cancer, alcoholism, high blood pressure, and cancer. So why wouldn't you be predisposed to loneliness or abandonment or feelings of those? What I mean is, the feeling of loneliness and how you process it could equally be connected through your DNA, through your family line. Not the idea of living alone, but how you process certain stimuli is definitely genetically related to your family. We all know that just from a layman's point of view. So, again, your great-great-uncle Johnny, who locked himself in a room with a bottle and painted all day, those genes are still floating through your bloodline somewhere. And who's to say they're not activating in you today, causing you to be in the room crying into your beer when you really could be in the living room sharing it with your friends, you know? So I think there's a variety of angles on that. Sorry, if I kind of.
No, no, don't apologize. Please, you should see my face. I'm just sitting there going, I feel like I need a dose of you every day. I just love what pours through you. I'm grateful for your ancestors and who you are and how you show up. You know, priestess, urban shaman, urban mystic. You bring it all together and you reach people where they are. And I'm so grateful for you. We got some questions here. Two questions. One is from Beth. She said, people say that if you're feeling lonely, that you will give off an air of desperation, and no one wants to connect with that. How can you, I guess I, but she doesn't want to own it, how can you use the energy of loneliness to find profound love?
Oh, wow. Great question. The people who say they don't want to connect with desperation, you don't want to connect with them either, so let them go. There are plenty of people who've opened their arms and their hearts and their souls to be there for the lonely and the folks who've been cast away. So let everything you have work for you. Never, ever step into the realm, in my opinion, where it works against you. And one of the primary places to look for that to be answered, to open you up maybe to softening your approach. Let me say that again. I'm not saying get rid of what other people may say is desperation. I'm just saying the approach of how you move with it, how to move with it a little differently. I would recommend poetry by the Sufi poet Rumi. Rumi was a mystical Sufi poet, R-U-M-I. You can Google him, anyone who's listening to Laura. He dealt with the profound yearning of wanting to be with his beloved, who he identified with as a deified source like God. And he wrote about it. The reason I recommend that is because art, as I shared with Life Coach Ade prior to this show, I sent him some links of different sources of art that are kind of more pop culture than Rumi. But art can help open up the soul in a way where you can emote what you're feeling through like a third party. So instead of meeting someone on the street and pouring your heart out, you can read Rumi, see yourself in Rumi, and kind of dance with that. So when you meet someone in your loneliness, they see a person dancing alone instead of a person crying alone. I hope that makes sense. So so work with art as a way to open up the heart, and therefore, as you all know, many of our artists are isolated and experiencing what we're talking about because our culture doesn't know what to do with that anymore. But traditionally, throughout history, the artists were tied into temples and other sacred events because they are channeling the divine. So look for an artistic outlet for that sense of loneliness, even if it's a song. You know how you have a song and that song speaks to you? We did that last show. Laura, find yourself a song that speaks to you, and then find other people with the power of the internet. You can have a whole meetup group. Find other people who love that song, and then dance through your loneliness. And you'll attract people to you who want to dance with you. So it can work. Yes.
I just posted the link for the YouTube song that you sent. And I'm going to post the other thing, scripture verses that can help during loneliness and rejection. We've got another question here, which is I'm pulling up in a second. This is a question from Anna. Multitasking, bear with me. Here we go. It is, Anna said, my mother raised me to not depend on other people. Opening yourself up to others will only open me up to hurt. What do you think about that, Anna?
Well, I would never disagree with Anna's mother, Ia Anna, so I'm going to think that your mother raised you to be a strong, independent woman. I'm also going to add to that opening yourself up, as I said earlier, would probably need to be defined to me a little bit more. Does opening yourself up mean picking up folks who are begging for change at the drugstore and bringing them home, or does it mean having a women's group that you meet with twice a month to go walking through the park and to pray with. I don't know. I don't know what opening yourself up is. So I can't say you're going to be instantly hurt. One thing I want to share in the middle of answering this that relates to what we said earlier, if you're feeling loneliness, abandonment, or you're afraid of being a burden, and you know you want to do something with that energy before it collapses within itself and you become bitter and angry and isolated, one thing you can do is find other people who admit to experiencing it as well. Don't look for the folks you think can fill your need to not be lonely. Look for other lonely people and then physically do an activity with them. Like I said, prayer walks. There's art projects you can do. Art, even if it's poetry writing. You can do this on the Internet. You can Skype people. You all have so much technology now. It didn't exist even 30 years ago for the masses. You know, you can connect with other people who are thinking they're going to get hurt if they open up, and you all can work together to do things together where you'll find a natural unfolding. So I don't ever disagree with the wisdom of elders given to their children. I would simply expand my answer to say, what is opening up? Is it that you want someone to pay all your bills and let you stay at home and watch Maury Povich all day? That could be a problem. I don't know. So what is opening up? And if you mean sharing your fear with someone and not having them take advantage of it, of course you can meet people out there who have the same concerns about life as you do, and you all can love each other through that and support each other through the night. I mean, it happens. So I hope that helps. And if not, type in more questions.
I want to ask this question because I could talk with you all day. You know that. We can talk all day. I just love you. I love your wisdom. I want to ask you this question because it just came up for me to ask you, and I don't think I've ever asked you this question even when we're just talking regularly. What is love?
A profound experience of another person.
Is it limited to romance?
Oh, no. That experience could be somebody actually leaving you. That could still be love. Love is not limited to you getting what you want. Love includes getting what you don't want when you most need it so you can grow. That's my definition.
Chew on that.
Yeah. It's getting what you don't want when you most need it so you can grow. Plenty of times, I mean, intercepting here, we pray, oh, Lord, send me a husband, wife, dog, cat, house, job, money, car, better body, liposuction, whatever it is. You're praying for all this stuff. And we don't want to get it unless it feels good, though. We don't want to get it. Babies hurt. Babies hurt. Babies, they just don't come out of patch. They're not like storks don't bring babies, okay? So it's interesting how people pray for things, but of course we want to skip the icky parts. And when you pray to be protected from negativity, you pray for only blessings to come to you, and you want all this good stuff. What if the person you lay in a bed with is not your blessing? What if your 14-year marriage is really not your blessing? What if your blessing is around the corner delivering mail and his name is John? And you got to get out of that 14-year marriage so John can show up with your mail and capture your heart and you can have babies and run away together. You don't want to hear that, right? So, you know, love is sometimes getting what you want. No, love is, well, definitely, yeah, I would say, yeah, the getting what you want in a way that doesn't feel good all the time, but you pray for it. And, and many times that will come through. So love is bigger than just feeling good and flowers and intimacy and romantic evenings at the beach. Sometimes it's laborious and it's messy. And it also means letting go of things. Love can be loving somebody so much that you turn around and walk away from them because you recognize that your presence in their life is not serving their best good or yours. That can be love. That can be the highest form of love, like a mother giving a baby up for adoption, understanding that she really loves that child enough to step back because whatever she's struggling with, she doesn't want to pass that on to that child. So I think love is a lot bigger than what we want to look at. That's why I said turn off the TV because that can just brainwash you to thinking it's roses and lilacs and, yeah, forget that. Sorry.
Get that. No, that's no.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did.
I'm glad. God, that was on the radio. Yeah, that's like, part of it, but
ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah, love can be tough. Watch The Godfather. That was love. The Godfather with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, that was a loving family movie. And that may go against what a lot of listeners believe. Love looks very different from a different lens. So, anyway, I hope that helped.
Oh, please, yes. Time is doing what time does. Life is doing what life does. It keeps moving. We've got about 30 seconds here. So, is there anything that you're doing that you want our listeners to know about, or maybe anything that you're offering?
Yes, I will be at the Herbalismo Conference this week from Thursday until Sunday. It is the first Herbology Conference of the Deep South. It is being held in the Hill Country of Texas, outside of Austin. The website is www.herbalismo.org, and I am offering three classes: herbs of, or plants of the African gods, African American folk healing, and leave a little wild patch over there, which all deal with the African and African-American experience or African diasporic experience of healing herbology in the Americas, Caribbean, and on the continent of Africa. So it is hands-on, experiential, and very interesting group of people are coming from around the region, out of villages of Mexico, isolated villages, and people who are wildcraft and live off the grid are coming together for this first gathering. So I hope that if you are unable to join me in person, you will join me in spirit and be there with us as we celebrate the earth. Thank you.
Thank you. I so love you. I thank you for who you are, and I look forward to our conversation in person and on the radio again.
Yes, yes.
Thank you,
Anipra. Thank you so much for having me here. Thank you, Celeste. I love everyone listening, and may these words bring blessings to everyone who hear them as long as they exist in the world, I pray. Mm. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. I share for the prayer. Thank you very much. Oh, gosh, I am so full. I'm so grateful. I am so blessed to have amazing people around me, and I trust that you are blessed and touched to see yourself differently. I'm back tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. Same place, wherever that is for you. And, wow, nothing much to be said. It's all been said. Other than feel free to donate to the Ask Life Coach ID Radio Show by going to lifeconversationsmedia.com. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Be love. It is the true essence of who you are. Be true to yourself. And just as important, be loved. Thank you for being part of the healing of humanity. Continue to let the breath of God breathe you, because all is truly well. This is Ricky Byers Beckwith, the breath of God. I will see you tomorrow. Peace and blessings.
I know.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.